Welcome to the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com, your daily morning podcast, updating you on everything you need to know to win your fantasy baseball league. Here's your host, Jake Crumpler.
What's up, fantasy managers? Welcome back to another episode of the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. My name is Jake Crumpler, and I'll be your host for this edition of the pod. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler and can find all of my work at CrumplerBaseball.com. Let's dive into everything baseball-related from Tuesday, September 1st. We'll start it off, as always, with the transactions, injuries, news, and notes from around the league. Kicking things off with the bad news, as outfielder Christian Franklin was placed on the 10-day IL with hand inflammation. He's been sort of a backup bat, so it's not going to be a huge blow to the Orioles lineup. Outfielder Heston Kjerstad was recalled for the minors in a corresponding move. The former top prospect and first-round pick has seen his career devastated by injuries, but he's going to get another chance in the big league roster. The outfield is stacked in Baltimore, especially following the addition of Luis Robert Jr. off waivers from the Mets. So Kjerstad does not have a clear path to playing time in Baltimore. Lastly, reliever Tyron Guerrero was placed on the 15-day IL with shoulder inflammation. He's been a fun story for the Red Sox this year, but with his velocity fallen a little bit, the Red Sox decided to place him on the IL, and hopefully he'll be ready for the playoffs. Wyatt Olds was recalled for the minors in a corresponding move. And in terms of transactions, rosters expanded across baseball with the calendar flipping to September. Every single ball club gets two more spots on their active roster, and they can all add an extra pitcher. So most teams went ahead and added another reliever and a position player to go alongside with them. We'll cover most of the notable ones. I obviously can't go through all of them. That would be, 60 transactions across the board. But we have some notable ones. I'll try to hit all the notable ones. Let's start with catcher Will Smith, who was activated from the 60-day IL to reclaim everyday catching duties for the Dodgers after missing nearly 3 months with neck inflammation. The Dodgers also activated catcher Dalton Rushing, who has been out with a UCL tear for the past few weeks. He'll be limited to just hitting. He's not going to be catching moving forward. Catcher Ben Rortvedt was designated for assignment in a corresponding move, but Hunter Fiducia will stick around to give the Dodgers three catchers and technically two, since Rushing will just be a bench bat. And lastly, the Dodgers activated starting pitcher Justin Wroblewski from the 15-day IL after he missed a couple weeks with forearm inflammation. It's not clear what his role is going to be in the playoffs. Wroblewski is definitely going to be a reliever for the Dodgers, but in September, he could replace Eric Lauer in the rotation until Shohei Ohtani is clear to pitch. Next, outfielder Lázaro Montes had his contract selected from the minors by the Mariners. He's a 21-year-old left-handed hitter, the Mariners' number 5 prospect and the number 56 prospect in baseball, according to MLB Pipeline. Montes is a true outcome hitter at AA and AAA this year. He's batted .247 with 38 homers, 8 steals, and a .137 WRC plus, walking 14% of the time with a 31% strikeout rate. And he homered in his MLB debut, so he immediately put that power on display. The Mariners are going to do everything they can to get him into the lineup. Next, catcher Leo Bernal had his contract selected from the minors. He's a 22-year-old switch-hitting backstop who's the Cardinals' number 7 prospect. At AAA, he's batted .279 with 16 homers, 9 steals, and a .116 WRC+. And with catcher Jimmy Crooks being optioned to the minors, Bernal will be the Cardinals' everyday catcher moving forward. Speaking of catchers, Rafael Marchand was activated from the 10-day IL after missing over a month with patellar tendonitis. He'll be the Phillies' backup catcher. First baseman BJ Murray had his contract selected from the minors. He's a 26-year-old switch hitter and is the Cubs' number 19 prospect. At AAA, he's batted .294 with 16 homers, 9 steals, and a .128 WRC+. But Murray is unlikely to get regular playing time for the Cubs with guys locked into the DH first base and third base roles on the north side. Next, first baseman Yohandy Morales had his contract selected from the minors. He's a 24-year-old right-handed batter. At AAA, he's batted .286 with 25 homers, 6 steals, and a .126 WRC+. And while there isn't a clear path to playing time for Morales, he got in the lineup at DH and homered in his MLB debut. It's unclear if that's going to be a regular role for him moving forward. And it's going to be tough for him to find playing time with right-handed batters Andrés Chaparro and Brady House at first base and third base, respectively. Outfielder Victor Mesa Jr. was activated from the 10-day IL after missing a couple weeks with a hamstring strain. He should take over as the everyday right fielder for the Rays, forcing Johnny DeLuca to the short side of a center field platoon. Catcher Ethan Salas had his contract selected from the minors. The 20-year-old left-handed batter is the Padres' number one prospect, and he's the number 23 prospect in baseball at AA and AAA. Salas has had his best offensive season of his career, batting .296 with 10 homers, 17 steals, and a 115 WRC plus. And while he didn't start in his first day on the active roster, he should be the Padres' everyday catcher moving forward. Next outfielder, Nick Morabito, was recalled for the minors. He's a 23-year-old right-handed batter and is the Mets' number 13 prospect. He made his MLB debut earlier this year, but at AAA, he batted .254 with 13 homers, 42 steals, and a 96 WRC+, and he could see a lot of time in left field for the Mets. Nick Morabito could force Brett Beatty into a new role. Utility man Ben Ross had his contract selected from the minors. The 25-year-old right-handed batter is the Twins' number 13 prospect, and he batted .274 with 20 homers, 20 steals, and a 125 WRC plus between AA and AAA this year, and he should be the Twins' backup utility infielder in September. Outfielder Riley Green was activated from the 10-day IL after missing 3 weeks with a hamstring strain. He'll return to being the Tigers' everyday left fielder. Outfielder Denzel Clark was activated from the 60-day IL today or yesterday. He's been out for four months with a foot bone bruise, which doesn't really seem like something that would keep you out for so long. But Clark is back after being activated from the IL. And he started in center field in his return, which forced Henry Bolte to a DH role. But I think Bolte will likely see a lot of time in the left field, which will take away playing time from Carlos Cortez. Next outfielder, Lourdes Gurriel Jr. was activated from the 10-day IL. He missed a month and a half with a groin strain, and he's been injured for most of the season. Gurriel didn't start versus a left-handed pitcher in his return, which suggests that he could be on the bench more often than not with a crowded outfield situation in Arizona. Next, second baseman Isaiah Kiner-Falefa was activated from the 60-day IL after missing more than 2 months with a forearm stress reaction. Kiner-Falefa will be the backup utility infielder for the Red Sox. Next, starting pitcher Hedickson Páez was recalled from the minors. He's a 22-year-old right-hand pitcher and is the Red Sox number 21 prospect. He made his MLB debut earlier this year after being a Rule 5 pick of the White Sox, but he was just pitching in relief at AA and AAA this year. 4.11 ERA, 0.96 whip, 31% strikeout rate, and a 3% walk rate. Páez made his first big league start on Tuesday against the Mariners, and he wasn't great. 3 2/3 innings, 10 hits, 8 earned, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts with 8 whiffs, 24% CSW and across 87 pitches. And Páez's stuff isn't incredible. He seems like more of a command-focused changeup guy. His fastball was decent at 92 miles per hour with 17 inches of IVB and 1.1 HAVA, as well as above average extension, which will allow that 92 miles per hour to play up a little bit. But Páez's changeup was pretty legit with 4 whiffs. It's the best thing to be a right-handed pitcher, like command-focused righty who relies heavily on a changeup. That's not a guy who succeeds a lot because you're going to be facing more right-handed batters. But he did deploy a curveball that he really trusted and was able to throw for strikes. He does have a cutter looks to be more of a slider than a cutter, and a sinker for right-handed batters. And I think those are the pitches that are going to be the key to better performances in the future from Hedickson Páez. Next, second baseman Josh Smith was activated from the 10-day IL after missing the minimum time with a hamstring strain. He will be the Blue Jays' backup utility infielder moving forward. The Blue Jays also recalled first baseman Sean Keyes from the minors. He's a 23-year-old left-handed hitter. At AA and AAA, he's batted .294 with 28 homers, 7 steals, and a 164 WRC+. He made his MLB debut earlier this year, but right now there's no clear path to playing time for Sean Keyes with George Springer locked in at DH, Vlad Guerrero Jr. at first base, and Kazuma Okamoto at the hot corner. Reliever Jojo Romero was activated from the 15-day IL after missing a month with an appendectomy. He will be one of the top setup options for a strong Brewers bullpen. The Brewers also recalled catcher Bo Naylor from the minors. He'll be the club's backup catcher. Starting pitcher Ronel Blanco was recalled for the minors to start versus the White Sox. He tossed 4 scoreless innings, allowing 3 hits and 3 walks with 3 strikeouts, inducing 9 whiffs with 23% CSW across 88 pitches. And Blanco's workload wasn't limited. He was just super inefficient with sub 50% strikes on his four seamer and an 8% per pitch put away rate, which suggested that he struggled to put batters away into strike counts, of which he had 71% two strike counts in all of his at bats. And Blanco's going to need to locate that four seamer better to survive five frames in the future, not only so that he doesn't walk guys, but also so that he can use it up in the zone to put batters away into strike counts. Third baseman Ryan McMahon was activated from the 15-day IL after missing the minimum time with a thumb sprain, and he'll be on the strong side of a third base platoon with Ahmed Rosario. And lastly, reliever Sammy Natera Jr. was activated from the 15-day IL after missing the minimum time with back spasms. He'll be the Angels' top setup option, and he'll take some saves away from Ben Joyce. He was really electric before that injury, striking out more than 40% of the batters he's faced with a 2 ERA. In terms of news, outfielder James Wood is expected to be activated from the 10-day IL today after missing a month with an oblique strain. Wood will be the everyday right fielder for the Nationals, forcing Dylan Cruz to compete for playing time with Jacob Young in center field. And outfielder Andrew Pinckney is expected to be optioned to the minors in a corresponding move. Next, starting pitcher Davis Martin is expected to be activated from the 15-day IL today to start in Houston. He's been out for a couple of weeks with a finger blister. And lastly, starting pitcher Griffin Jacks, who's been out with elbow discomfort for a month, is expected to be activated from the 15-day IL today to start versus the Mets. Now we can take a look at our notable performances from Monday, a day in which we had a full slate of 15 games. We'll start it off with our hitters, leading off with outfielder Fernando Tatis Jr., who did all he could, but the Padres lost in Cincinnati. He went 2-for-5 with 2 runs, 2 home runs, and 2 runs batted in. He's up to 19 homers now. The first one went 347 feet at 105 miles per hour, and the second one went 361 feet at 101 miles per hour. And it's well known that Tatis started off the season cold, deploying a closed batting stance that sapped his power and led to a power outage that lasted more than 2 months. But he's looked like the $300 million man we've gotten to know once he finally got off the schneid with his first homer, batting 290 with 19 homers and a 150 WRC plus since late May. Homers have come in bunches recently, with each of his last three games that included a homer being of the multi-homer variety. And Tatis is now within striking distance of the 25 homers he hit last year, which is the most he's hit outside of his outlier 42-homer 2021 campaign. Lastly, shortstop Thomas Segese helped the Cardinals to win in Hollywood, going 2-for-3 with 3 runs, 2 home runs, 3 runs batted in, and a walk for good measure. He's up to 3 homers. The first one went 415 feet at 105 miles per hour, and the second one went 382 feet at 102 miles per hour. And power hasn't been Segese's calling card in the majors, but it was something he displayed often in the minors, topping out at 26 homers in 2023 and following it up with 20 homers as a 22-year-old at AAA. The problem has mostly been opportunity for Segese, who's been blocked in a stacked Cardinals infield. With Mason Wynn and JJ Weatherholt hitting the IL, though, he's getting everyday run at shortstop and making the most of it. If Segese can limit the strikeouts and make enough contact to tap into his power, he could be someone worth rostering in NL-only leagues down the stretch. But if you'd like a breakdown of other notable hitting performances from Tuesday, check out the Daily Batters Box article over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the mound and check out some notable starting pitching performances, opening with Gavin Williams, who helped the Guardians to win against the Blue Jays, tossing 7 shutout innings, allowing 2 hits and 1 walk while striking out 13. He induced 23 whiffs with 44% CSW across 97 pitches, and Williams earned the gallows pole, or earned the golden goal. He also earned the gallows pole by leading baseball with those 23 whiffs, and he earned the King Cole by leading baseball with his 44% CSW. Williams is third in baseball with 217 strikeouts on the season, and he's tied with Dylan Cease for the American League lead, thanks to double-digit strikeouts in 7 of his last 10 starts. Incredible from Gavin Williams. He set a season high with a baker's dozen strikeouts on Tuesday, dominating with his upper 90s heater and pair of breakers. His fastball induced 8 whiffs with 50% CSW and 75% strikes, accounting for 4 of his strikeouts, while curves induced 6 whiffs for 5 strikeouts and sweepers induced 7 whiffs for 4 strikeouts. There is no slowing Gavin Williams down as long as he throws strikes and avoids relying on his sinker. It should be dominance again versus the Detroit Tigers next. And lastly, we have Freddie Peralta versus his former team, the Mets. He helped the Rays to a win, tossing 6 innings, allowing 3 hits and 1 run, walking nobody while striking out 7, inducing 14 whiffs with 30% CSW across just 74 pitches. Very efficient from Peralta. The Rays have had Peralta lean on his changeup since coming over from the Mets at the trade deadline, and he's throwing it a third of the time since the trade deadline, after he threw it just 21% of the time during his Mets tenure. He had a rough few starts to start off his career with the Rays, but he seems to have locked it in again, sitting north of 95 with his four-seamer here on Tuesday for 5 whiffs and 73% strikes, while changeups induced 6 whiffs and combined with curves and sweepers to hunt strikeouts, leading to 7 strikeouts on the night, his highest total since late May. Peralta's command was better than it's been all season, as everything stayed arm side, especially against left-handed batters. It was four-seamers up and away and changeups staying low and away. It was a pretty cool strategy from Peralta that we haven't seen from him all year, and that should work moving forward, and I'm willing to trust him in Atlanta next. But if you'd like a breakdown of every single start from Tuesday, give the Plus Pitch podcast a listen and check out my daily starting pitcher roundup over on pitcherlist.com. Now we'll head to the bullpen and check out the relievers that got saves and the closers that pitched outside of save situations or blew their saves. Starting with the former, Emilio Pagan worked around a solo shot for his 20th save. Jacob Latz got the final 2 outs of the game for his 28th save. And Jordan Romano recorded his 14th save with a perfect ninth. In terms of closers to pitch outside of save situations or blow their saves, Mason Montgomery pitched a scoreless ninth in a tie game and earned his 6th win when the Pirates walked it off in the bottom half. Andrés Muñoz recorded the final 2 outs of the game to escape an inherited jam. Clayton Beter allowed 3 runs, pitching the 8th inning up by 6. Grant Taylor pitched a perfect 9th with a 4-run lead. And lastly, Justin Martinez pitched a scoreless 7th, trailing by 2. He has not really gotten a save opportunity yet, so it's not clear how the bullpen hierarchy is going to be for the Diamondbacks in September. But if you'd like more information on relief pitchers, check out Rick Graham's daily articles over on pitcherlist.com. And before we look forward to today's games, we're going to take a quick break. Now we'll look forward to Wednesday, September 2nd, a day in which we'll have a full slate of 15 games. My matchup of the day is Cam Schlittler versus Reed Detmer. Schlittler has been incredible this season. He's pushing towards that AL Cy Young award at the end of the year, whereas Reed Detmer's continues what has been a season that has changed me from a non-believer to somebody that's okay with starting Detmer's every single week. In terms of probable starters, we've got 5 guys in the auto starts tier, including Schlittler. We've also got Jacob Mizorowski on the north side of Chicago, Yoshinobu Yamamoto versus the Cardinals, Dylan Cease in Cleveland, and Eury Pérez in Kansas City. Our probably starts tier has 4 guys, and that's where we'll find our streamer of the day in Andrew Painter in Arizona. He's a different pitcher than he was earlier in the year. He's throwing harder. He's relying on his changeup. He's improved the movement profiles of his pitches, and Painter should be dominant in Arizona. Our questionable starts tier has 9 guys, and that's where we'll find another guy who you should stream, and that's David Peterson versus the Brewers. The Brewers lineup is a little bit scary, but Peterson has displayed much better command since coming to the Cubs. He's got the best defense in baseball behind him. I think he's going to be pretty solid, should at least get you a quality start there. If you're looking for a pitcher with an opener, neither of these are confirmed, but Jose Cabrera could pitch in bulk relief for the Phillies for the Diamondbacks, and Bryson Motz could pitch in bulk relief for the Cardinals in Hollywood. In terms of hitter suggestions, I target Padres and Reds hitters in Great American Ballpark. We'll see Casey Mize square off against Brandon Williamson in that one. And lastly, I target Orioles and Rockies hitters in Coors Field, as we'll see Trevor Rogers square off against Tomoyuki Sugano there. Now we'll close things out with our relievers to watch. Andrés Muñoz has pitched on back-to-back days, so Jose A. Ferrer should be the best bet for a save for the Mariners. Jordan Romano has pitched on back-to-back days, so expect Jimmy Herget to be the favorite for a save in Colorado. And lastly, Mason Montgomery has pitched in 3 of the past 4 days, and so has Luke Weaver. So if the Pirates want to give them the day off, Gregory Soto could get a shot at a save for the Pirates on Wednesday. But that'll do it for today's episode of the First Pitch Podcast. Make sure to head on over to pitcherlist.com to check out all of the great articles and features we have on the site. Sign up for PL Plus or PL Pro to gain access to the Discord and to support the Pitcher List staff. You can follow me on socials at Jake Crumpler, where I do daily SP streamers and I break down every single start via the Pitcher List stats player cards. Tune into YouTube tomorrow and every day for a new installment of the podcast, and make sure to enjoy the day as we are blessed with another day of baseball.
This has been the First Pitch Podcast, brought to you by PitcherList.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, rate us on iTunes, follow us on Twitter at PitcherList, and help support what we do by joining our Discord with PitcherList Plus at PitcherList.com/plus.